Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
I'm Matt.
And today we're talking about why you need to freeze your credit now.
Joel, real quick, do you have a carbon monoxide detector in your house?
Yes, I do.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I don't.
You should.
Well, I do now, but it's actually packaged because it just showed up from Amazon and it's sitting in my office. I realized the other day, that we don't have a carbon monoxide detector in our house and you're supposed to have one. And it's just something we've never gotten around to. And I started thinking about it and I was like, man, you can't smell it. You can't see it. I kind of got freaked out in the middle of the night when I was thinking about it and I added it to my Amazon cart.
It's deadly like that, man. Deadly. You got to be ready. And it's a really cheap thing to get a carbon monoxide detector, right? Well, I mean, what'd you pay for it? $12?
Yeah, close to 12. I think I got mine for $16. Super cheap.
Yeah.
Good peace of mind to have. And in particular, I mean, the reason I was freaking out is because I was thinking of the girls, right? Like our water heater is in the basement.
Yeah, just to let everyone know, you have three daughters.
And so natural gas sometimes emits carbon monoxide. And yeah, I don't know why. It's something that just popped into my head, though. And I was thinking about it. And, you know, it's something that I needed to do. So have you always had one?
Yeah, so the guy that we bought the house from had like actually hardwired in smoke
and
carbon monoxide detectors.
Like the old school system?
Yeah, like three of them. So when one goes off, it sets off the other ones.
Right, right.
So yeah, and I have, I don't know if people haven't heard, listened to previous episodes. I have a duplex, essentially. I rent out the back part of our house that we live in. And so, yeah, it's kind of connected there. So if the smoke detector goes off in our part of the house, it also goes back in the unit behind us.
Wakes Michelle up.
Exactly.
Because you're cooking fries at midnight.
Exactly. Yeah. So she hates that.
Get your late night fry action going on.
So that's a good reminder for folks to check their batteries in their smoke alarm or to get a carbon monoxide detector if they don't have one. Because those things are really cheap. And man, it's just a good way to keep your family safe.
Yeah. Good peace of mind. They recommend to have them on every level of your home.
Yep. It's a good way to go. Good rule of thumb. All right. I wanted to tell you, Matt, since we talked about timing the market last week, there was an interesting story I saw this week after the episode was released about Kanye West, and people were talking about how he...
Oh, Yeezy?
Yeah. What? How he had specifically invested in just a few different stocks. I believe Netflix, Adidas. There were a couple more in there.
Apple.
Yeah.
Disney.
And so he's kind of actually crushed it over the past 6 months. He's way outpaced the market returns in his own portfolio. And I guess he invested like $300,000 or something in those stocks altogether. It was just an interesting read, and it made me think again about, you know, it's...
What was interesting specifically is that what they mentioned was to invest in what you know.
Yes.
Because those are brands that he has some insight in through his own business dealings and...
Yeah, because he's on the payroll. He's like a spokesperson or whatever.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, so he's got like some skin in the game there. He knows what they're up to. But I also thought it was interesting that he's made a really good return over these past 6 months. But like we talked about in the last episode, you know, past results don't necessarily correlate to future returns. And so he could have done really well over the last 6 months, but he could also, things could crater a year from now or 6 months from now. And so, you know, way to go, Kanye. I'm glad you're doing well with your investments. But still, that's not a good recipe for, you know, the everyday listener out there who's, you know, only got a little bit of money here and there to invest. You want to be low and slow, just like you're cooking a brisket. You want to do the same thing with your
low
stocks.
Low and slow. And smoky.
Maybe.
You know, Kim and Kanye both listen to our podcast.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Yeah. How could they not?
All right. So this episode we're doing on freezing your credit. And you know what popped into my mind? You're going to be so proud of me.
What's that?
Beat the Freeze.
Oh, the guy from the Braves?
Yeah. So I don't know if any of y'all are baseball fans out there, but the Atlanta Braves, they've got this sort of seventh inning stretch entertainment. But basically, they get someone down in the outfield and they start running and it's a race and you're racing up against the freeze. And it's this guy and he's got a blue leotard. Basically, he looks like Mr. Freeze from like The Incredibles.
Which, by the way, right? This would be a great Halloween costume for you, I think.
Oh,
yeah. You should be the freeze.
Like a
blue leotard.
Blue leotard with goggles.
Yeah.
I'm fast.
Make it happen. So I think I love kind of the way the baseball seventh inning stretch things go. And like in Milwaukee, they've got a bunch of sausages that race. I think in
I've never seen it.
In Washington, the Nationals, they've got like presidents that race each other. So there's like all these like cool races around the country during the seventh inning stretch for baseball teams. And yeah, the Freeze is kind of Atlanta's.
It's the best.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Good, because we used to have the tool race, the Home Depot tool race, and you know they're dressed up as the bucket, the hammer, or whatever.
That was pretty lame.
It was kind of like the Disney version. This is freaking awesome.
Well, it was the Disney version, but it was also like a corporatized thing, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
But the presidents or the sausages, like there's nothing corporate about
right.
that. They're just cool old school baseball stuff.
Feels a little more homegrown
yeah.
Versus a local sponsor who's like, all right, who's going to sponsor the race?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I hear you, man.
All right, so let's tell people the beer that we're drinking today. And at the end of the show, we will kind of give you our tasting notes. So today on the show, we're drinking a beer that our pastor friend, Matt, brought back from Vermont. Focal Banger by The Alchemist. And so this is an IPA that Matt and I are excited to drink because we've never had it before.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this one has like a lot of beer lore surrounding it. And so if you don't have a pastor that brings you beer, you you should probably work on that. All right, Matt, so on to the topic at hand, why you need to freeze your credit now. And let's just be clear, the Equifax breach that happened last year, if you haven't heard about it, you've been living under a rock. But
it's been close to a year now, right?
Yeah, but yeah, it's been almost exactly a year. And the Equifax breach, so essentially 148 million accounts were compromised, people's social security numbers and other information about them, you know, personal information was compromised as the Equifax systems were breached. And essentially, it made for this credit dumpster fire where everyone's information was floating around and you have no idea, even if your information hasn't been used yet.
It still could, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Against you. It still could be used
because
against
it's
you
out there
in the future because the crooks have access to that information.
Man, you know, one of my favorite slash, I guess, unfavorite things that they also did at the time was they put that website out that said, here, this is how you can check to see if your information was hacked. And you had to enter 6 of the 9 digits of your social security number to like fit, to see whether or not your information was compromised. And it doesn't matter what you entered in. It just said, oh, you're fine. Don't worry about it. It was like the worst cover up and like the worst way possible to deal with the public and trying to make people feel that things are going to be okay by just like throwing a blanket statement basically out there saying, oh yeah, you're going to be okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, the big problem, Matt, with these credit bureaus is sadly their customer is not you and me, right? We are the
yeah.
data. So
yeah.
they don't care about us and how we feel and whether we like or hate Equifax. They just want to make sure that they are getting money from the major companies that they provide data services
yep.
for. So we are just these numbers that gets sent back and forth. Yes, give credit to this person. No, decline that person. And so because of that, that's part of the reason that they just responded so poorly. So we should all be upset with Equifax, but they also don't care at the same time.
Man, did you know that they're based in Atlanta?
Yes.
Like, do you pass them on your bike when you go to work? Because I didn't realize, I looked them up and I realized that they are headquartered right there in Midtown.
They are literally across the street from where I work.
Are they really?
Literally. I could walk there in 30 seconds.
You should drive by and
throw rotten tomatoes.
Yeah. Well, I guess you're on your bike.
I could bring some in my
computer. We're hippies, yeah. So you can like ride by on your bike and throw seed bombs.
Yeah.
Never heard of seed bombs? They're like the...
No.
Never heard of seed bombs?
No.
It's like a hippie thing. They're like these little packets full of seeds and people throw them in empty lots and stuff like that. And they land and then it rains and the seeds sprout. And so you have like natural wildflowers in empty lots or... Maybe in a nice Equifax lawn, you can like throw some sunflowers or dandelions or whatever you want.
I like this. That's a good way to
seed
get back.
Seed bomb them.
Done. All right. So let's talk about this. First, a credit freeze. So we know why it's important, right? Equifax, you know, they just had a major breach last year and 148 million of our social security numbers were compromised. And the sad thing is only about 1 in 5 consumers did a credit freeze after the breach last year. So there's a lot of people who are open to being compromised. Essentially, their credit could be compromised if they don't have a freeze on their account. So quickly, let's define what a credit freeze is. It lets you restrict access to your credit report, making it difficult for identity thieves to open new accounts in your name. And that's because most creditors need to see your credit report before they approve a new account. If they can't see your file, they're not going to approve it. And that means that a credit card is not going to be able to be opened in your name or a new mortgage or anything like that, right? So it's going to be much harder for a thief to steal your information and steal your credit and open an account as if they were you if you have a credit freeze in place.
Yeah, man. And so the whole reason we're talking about this now is because it is now free to put a freeze on your credit report, and it's free to unfreeze it. And so you used to have to pay to freeze your credit, or in some states, they allowed you to freeze it for free, but then they charged you to unfreeze it. So it's sort of like a gotcha when you realize that you needed to unfreeze it because you were going to apply for, say, a new loan or something like that. You had to pay, you know, on the back end. And some states required it on the front end and the back end. You're paying between like $5 and $10 in order to freeze your credit. But then times three, because you got the three different major bureaus. And so as of September 21st, a new federal law was passed that required the three bureaus to offer that to consumers for free, which is a huge win for us.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a huge win, Matt. I think so. Yeah, a lot of people had to pay $10 to freeze their credit and then $10 to thaw it. And so every time you wanted to get a new credit card or apply for a mortgage or whatever it may be, you had to thaw and then refreeze your credit. And so that just became really frustrating for consumers. And also, sometimes it was really hard to figure out, you know, which bureau your credit was being checked through. And so you might have to thaw all three at the same time to apply for something. That's $30. And then $30 then to refreeze your credit. So that's $60 just to apply for a line for something. And it's just a pain.
Yeah. Plus that eats into my credit card bonuses when I'm to get my sign up bonus, you know?
Exactly. So I'll say this, I have never frozen my credit until now. And the reason is because I was applying for more credit than the average American, right? Being a real estate investor, I bought, you know, houses, I apply for credit. I'm still kind of in this phase where I'm kind of building out my available credit lines. And because of that, I never frozen the credit because it was so expensive to thaw and then refreeze. So now I'm so thankful that for everybody, for you, for me, for all the American people, it is free to continually do that. So now there's no excuse not to freeze your credit because you can thaw it at any time unconditionally for free.
Yeah, I mean, we just said how only 1 in 5 people froze their credit after that Equifax hack, right? And I think a big barrier to people actually doing that is the money. Even if it costs a little bit, it's a barrier. You know, it's a hurdle that you have to sort of figure out and then hop over, you know, sometimes twice, depending on the state that you lived in. Yeah, and luckily, that's just something we're not dealing with anymore. So that's great.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, Matt, I think underlying all of this, the weird thing is that these companies, the three major credit bureaus, they're compiling our information and selling it to businesses without our permission. And so because of that, I think this feels like more of a sense of justice, right? That we deserve to have at least the ability to lock down those credit files whenever we want. And the fact that we had to pay to do that was just an injustice against the American people, in my opinion. And so we had to pay to keep it safe. Come on, that's bonkers. And we're going to tell you a little more about why it's important and then the specifics on how to actually freeze your credit after this break.
All right, Joel, so let's talk about now why it is important for us to freeze our credit. You need a credit freeze in order to prevent criminal activity using your name and your good credit. And so what we mean by that, though, if there is criminal activity, you're not financially responsible for the fraudulent activity. What it is the hassle of fixing it that sucks. So basically, you know, for an example, you've got a new credit card open in your name. Someone has charged a ton to that account and you're not going to be responsible for that. However, the legwork and the time and just all the hoops that you have to jump through to prove that that wasn't you, that just takes up so much time. And on top of that, your credit's kind of screwed in the meantime, right? There might be a product that you're trying to qualify for, and for, say, maybe a credit card, that's not a huge deal. But what if you're in the middle of like a house purchase and you're trying to get a loan, your credit's totally jacked because you've got this fraudulent activity on there? You're not going to get a great loan, if one at all.
Yeah, you're not going to get the house in all likelihood.
Yeah, exactly, because you got to move quickly when it comes to purchasing a home most often.
Yeah, Matt, and so I'm friends with a couple of people that have actually had their credit stolen. It becomes a part-time job for somebody who's had their credit stolen. It sucks, man.
Yeah.
It's the worst. And so I think this is just such a great message to people, especially now that it's free. There's absolutely nothing inhibiting you from getting a credit freeze. Do it. Because if you talk to somebody or read a couple of horror stories on the internet about people that have their credit stolen, it's easier to do now than ever before. And especially now that Equifax has just essentially gifted your information to criminals out there, right? It's just so important that we get that credit frozen because it's so much better to do that than the potential of losing a house, losing a car, or even just taking on that responsibility essentially of a part-time job of clearing your name from like fraudulent activity that you didn't actually do and someone else did in your name.
I mean, it's almost like a public service, like it's a public good now that exists that you just need to be aware of and take advantage of. It's sort of like if your house caught on fire and you didn't realize that there was a fire department and you were just trying to put it out yourself. But like, this is something that is out there now that exists that you need to be aware of so that you and others that you know can take advantage of this service, this product before it happens, not in response, because that's not how credit freezes work.
Yeah. And Matt, just in a couple of seconds, we're going to get to something that people need to be watching out for as they try to freeze their credit, because the credit bureaus, they're still crafty, even though credit freezes are free, right? So, but I wanted to let people know that parents can also freeze the credit of your kids that are under age 16 too. So that's a new thing as well. And actually, kids historically have been the easiest target. There's something called affinity fraud, and oftentimes it's a relative that opens up
sad.
Credit, right? Yeah, it's awful in the name of a kid. And so if you've got small children, teenage kids, whatever it is, you're going to want to make sure at the same time you're freezing your credit that you're also freezing their credit too, or telling your college age kid who's 18 plus, you're going to want to tell them, go freeze your own credit, because this is just huge. You just want to make sure that everyone that you know and care about knows about this, because it's free and they're protecting themselves in doing
exactly.
this.
The only downside that I found when it comes to freezing a dependent's credit is that it's not quite as easy as doing it for yourself. And again, we'll get more into the details on how to do this next. But that's the only downside with the kids. It involves sending in documents via snail mail. So it's going to take forever.
And people our age, we don't even know how to do that anymore.
Yeah, like, what is a stamp? I don't even know. So that's the only downside. Something else to consider is that you might think, man, I've got a terrible credit score, or I don't have a lot of wealth built up. And you think, oh, I'm not going to be a target. Like, who's going to target me? But you are still a target, because it's not the amount of money that you have. It's the ability to take out credit products in your name.
And they don't care about
that's the damage that's going to be caused.
Yeah. And they don't care about the interest rate that they're getting, right?
Yeah,
because exactly. They're just trying to like get as much money as they can. It's a money grab, essentially. So, all right. So let's go over, Matt, the specifics on how. In the show notes, we'll link to the websites for the three bureaus, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. Follow the steps on those links. And those links are actually important, because there are links to other places on their websites that look a little tricky and confusing and are selling other products that you want to make sure you're not signing up for. Yeah, and the biggest thing is the credit lock. The credit bureaus want you to, they're trying to make it sound appealing, like the credit lock is better for you and it's so much easier to use via their apps. Well, credit freeze is guaranteed by law. Credit locks are not. Also, some of the credit bureaus want you to pay for that easier to use credit lock. Or if not, they at least want to make you sign up for their emails to sell you additional crap so that you essentially can become a money-making entity for them.
Yeah, they want to get you on that subscription list where you're getting charged every month. And that's the thing. Just like you said, the credit freeze is guaranteed by law. Like, it's got certain requirements and they can't charge for that. But the locks, that's a product. It's a product that, especially, man, I noticed TransUnion, they do a lot of pushing and a lot of marketing to try to steer you towards like their specialty products. But the terms for the credit lock can change because it is their own product. And what that means is that the terms and then the pricing can change to whatever they want it to, you know, just depending on what they feel they can get away with, you know?
So, yeah, so go through those direct links on our site, because you want to make sure you're going directly for the credit freeze, not the crummy lock.
Freeze good, lock bad. And the other thing, too, about the credit locks is, I'm sure you saw, too, how they're sort of marketed as this sort of instant sort of on-off sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right? But then the credit freezes, they're like, oh, it could take up to 3 business days. It just depends. And that's just not the case. The credit freezes take place instantly. I logged on, and no joke, within 5 minutes, all 3 of them, I was able to freeze my accounts pretty much instantaneously. Equifax took like 30 seconds, man. I was shocked. It took no time at all. Again, TransUnion, they're like wanting you to create an account, create a password, and we're trying to sell you on these other products to add to your cart, all that kind of stuff. But look past all that.
Yeah, so that's just good to know, right? Because they're going to make it sound like the lock is easier. But in reality, the credit freeze is better for you, and the timing is just as quick.
Yeah, man. So for all 3 of those today, I actually signed up and then got that, you know, that 10-digit PIN. Except again, for TransUnion, guess how long their PINs were?
How long?
6.
Oh, those dummies.
Dude, TransUnion, their whole model, their whole sort of attitude towards it was just like, it's okay. Just come on back here if you lose it. And so like the other 2, Experian and Equifax, if you lose it, you have to either mail off for a replacement PIN or call them up and they'll mail you a new one. It's a huge process. It's like it's a big deal, and it's probably the way it should be. TransUnion, man, I'm totally crapping on them, but they totally were just like, it's okay. Just come on back here and you can reset it. Isn't that nuts?
That's messed up, especially in light of what happened.
I know. They're being so kind of cavalier and nonchalant about it.
Let's make this secure, guys.
Yeah, exactly. But either way, hang on to that pin because that's the number that you're going to need, especially if you're going to call them up in person and unfreeze your credits over the phone. You're going to have that 10-digit pin. TransUnion, evidently, you can log on to your computer and do that via the internet. But the other two, yeah, you definitely want to hang on to that pin.
Yeah, and for folks up until this point, the biggest complaint about credit freeze has been that it costs money. And like we said, now it's free. The second biggest complaint about credit freezes is the 10-digit pin. And people misplace it. They forget it. And so when they're trying to thaw their credit in order to use it, they can't do it because they don't know where their pin is. And so it's really, really important that when you take action on this, you hold on to that pin so that you can actually freeze and thaw your credit at will when you want. Because if you lose the pin, it's going to be a pain in the butt to get it back.
Yeah, just store that wherever you keep your social security number.
Yeah, where do you put it? Do you tattoo it on the small of your back? Is that where you put your social security number?
I've got a special document that I'm not going to talk about.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, I assume you have a passwords document too, right?
Yeah, you got to.
Okay.
Somewhere. I'm not telling you where.
Yeah. Another question folks might have is, this sort of feels like a credit inquiry maybe to some folks. And they know, if you've listened to a previous episode as well, that when you have hard inquiries on your credit, it kind of dings your credit a little bit. That is not what this is at all. This just keeps basically new creditors from accessing your credit report. This has nothing to do with your actual credit score. So you can freeze and unfreeze your credit report literally as many times as you want to. And it's not going to have an impact on your credit score. It just restricts the access that other new creditors have to your credit report. And what's great too about the bureaus is that I actually froze my credit today, but then I wanted to unfreeze it to see how easy that was. And it was just as easy as freezing them, man. And what's really cool too is you can set time limits. So you can say, you can set like a window where it's going to be unfrozen starting on Thursday and it's going to go through the weekend until maybe Monday or something like that. If you know over the weekend you're going to apply for a mortgage or something like that, that's incredibly handy to maintain security, but also too to have some convenience to apply for a new loan.
Yeah, I love that. I love the automatic refreeze after a period of time. That's pretty sweet.
All right, man. So that's the how-to. After the break, we're going to talk about a fourth bureau that you need to be aware of. All right, Joe, we just hinted at that fourth credit bureau, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But first, we're going to talk about the things that a credit freeze doesn't do. And specifically, it doesn't keep identity theft from happening 100%, right?
Will it watch my kids so I don't have to?
You're a terrible father.
I know.
So for real, you can still have fraudulent charges on a card if your credit card information was stolen. It doesn't keep fraudulent activity from happening on individual accounts or individual cards. What it does is it keeps new accounts from opening. And so what it's not is, you know, on Discover Card, they have that, there's a switch, like a button that you can push and it turns off your card. It kind of like deactivates it.
Yeah. So a purchase couldn't be made at all, right?
Basically, if you lose your card and you know you've lost it, you can, they've got a sweet app actually too. And you can log into the app and just basically flip a switch and it turns your card off. That is not what a credit freeze does, because obviously you still want to be able to use your credit cards.
Yeah. Your open lines of credit can still be used with a credit freeze in place.
Exactly.
Yeah, so don't let a credit freeze give you a false sense of security. You're still going to want to monitor your credit card statements because fraudulent activity can still occur on the lines of credit that you already have. And it's also important just to make sure you're sticking to your budget.
Yeah, you want to keep up with those expenses.
And you're also going to want to keep tabs on your credit score. And so we talked about the best places to do that on a previous show. Yeah, so to stay on top of your credit score for free, check out a site like creditscorecard.com. That's Discover's site, and you don't even have to have a Discover card in order to get your free credit score. That's one that I use and I check pretty religiously because I kind of like love their system.
Yeah,
and
it's real pretty.
Yeah.
It's got all the colors.
And it's just really nice to be able to know what your credit score is at all times, right?
That's right. I mean, and a lot of credit cards do it too. I know I've got the Amex Everyday Blue, and they've now got that as an option. Like off to the side, it's like, check my FICO score. And so I think more and more credit cards are sort of getting on the sort of bandwagon because they want to offer that as a benefit for you to be able to keep up with your score. And also, man, beyond the specific just number, you know, the credit score, you want to keep an eye on your credit report as well. And especially if you see something weird with your credit score, if you see it drop, you know, say 50 points or something like that, it's like, oh, something's up.
Yeah, put the brakes on.
Yeah,
check
exactly.
Your actual report.
And you can do that at annualcreditreport.com. Once a year, you can go there and get a free credit report. It doesn't cost you anything.
From each of the bureaus.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. And it's just a way for you to get more detail from what's going on with your credit score versus more of like the snapshot. You know, the credit card companies offer more of the snapshot, like your credit score. But then if you want to really drill down to what's actually going on sort of behind the curtain, check out that annualcreditreport.com.
Yeah, and just let it be known, annualcreditreport.com is literally the only site that allows you guaranteed access by federal law to your free credit reports every year, right? So you can check out each bureau's credit report on you once a year for free at annualcreditreport.com. Don't be fooled when you're signing up for credit freeze at the individual bureau sites. Don't be fooled into paying money to get your credit report because they're trying to sell you credit locks, credit reports, all these things. Well, annualcreditreport.com is the one place to turn where it's free.
I guarantee that TransUnion has some sort of paid credit report.
Oh, for sure.
Dude. I bet they have like a premium gold membership like for $15 a month.
Oh, dude, you remember the jingles, the days of like the free credit score jingles? They were prevalent over TV.
Jingles, wait, jingles on TV for credit reports?
Oh, yeah, dude. It was like freecreditreport.com and they had these bedraggled college students, you know, singing songs on their acoustic guitar about how to get your free credit report. But the thing is, it was all this essentially a lure to getting you to sign up for, it was free to get it initially, but then you had to give your credit card information. And every month thereafter, you got billed $14.95.
Dude, that's lame.
And that's still the kind of tactics that these credit bureaus are pulling. So just be aware and be careful. You don't want to input any credit card information on their sites. The things that you want access to are free.
And then lastly, man, we're going to talk about that fourth bureau. This one is much smaller. However, it seems like it's sort of gaining steam. And are you ready for this? Because it's long. It's the National Consumer Telecom and Utilities Exchange.
Oh, can we give it like a cute nickname or something? Because that is really long.
I mean, yeah, it's the NCTUE. But
that's not that much better.
But they provide credit information to like a lot of the cell phone companies. So I know AT&T, and I think Verizon as well. But some cable companies and also a lot of utility companies. You can go on there and freeze your report with them. It's also free. And it's honestly set up just like Equifax. Like exactly the same. The only thing that's different is in the top corner is the logo's different. But it's just as easy. And so what that means is that it only takes 30 seconds. So go ahead and do that if you really want to cover all your bases.
Sweet. Yeah. And we'll put a link to that one in the show notes as well.
Definitely.
Make sure just take, you know, 30 minutes out of your day on a Saturday and freeze your accounts with all three of the major bureaus. And then this one fourth straggler, the National Consumer Telecom and Utilities Exchange, you'll go straight to those pages if you go to our website and click over.
And for real, not even 30 minutes, man, 5 minutes. I kind of was racing myself a little bit because I wanted to prove to myself that I could do it in under 5 minutes. But no joke, I was able to do it. It's super easy, super quick.
I'm just really slow. So I just want to, like, you know, to all the other people that click slowly and fill out their information, it takes a little time. And also you just want to make sure that what you're reading, that you're not getting lured into signing up for something
that is true.
Incorrect. And so hopefully those links too will help people land on the exact right page so that they're not signing up for something that costs them money or that they don't mean to be signing up for.
That's right, man. I love it.
All right, Matt, let's tell folks about the beer we drank tonight. We had Focal Banger by The Alchemist in Vermont.
Yeah, man, we've mentioned this on previous episodes, but the New England style hazy IPA, it really is like my desert island beer. You know, like you mentioned how you've got other favorites, but I have those favorites too. I mean, we both love a solid Flanders Red, but I can't drink that every night. You know, like a good barrel-aged Flanders Red.
Sissy.
I would love to see you drink one of those every night. You probably could. You're a beast. But every night I could drink a New England style IPA. And what I found, I think that I love about it is that the body, it's got the haziness and it just feels a little heavier in your mouth. And just those hop aromas just sit there on your tongue. I love it. It's just a departure from the West Coast style where it's just sort of like resiny and bitter. If you're looking to move on from that and you're looking for something typically a little juicier, consider New England style IPAs. And if you're lucky enough to get some Alchemist beers, man, they're winners for sure.
You know what I find like the coolest about The Alchemist as a brewery is that when they first launched, they had one beer, Heady Topper. That was like the only beer that they made, I think.
Yeah, the OG.
And so I think that's actually part of the reason they kind of gained a cult following was that they made one beer and they made it so well. And so for I have to look up the numbers on this, but I swear they only made Heady Topper for close to like a decade, something like that, like 6, 7, 8 years, something crazy.
Nice.
And then finally, I think they have two more beers in their rotation, but they're all still in that same.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think
I thought there was more.
I think there's just three. I think. I'll have to look
that
it up.
That is awesome. If so, I love that model.
And they're all IPAs, right? So they kind of specialize in this kind of beer.
Yeah. It's what they do.
And it's just kind of really cool to see this brewery make something amazing out of really sticking to exactly what they know how to do well. And so thanks again to Pastor Matt for giving us some focal banger tonight.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much.
All right, Matt, let's get into the final thoughts. First off, your info is floating around after the Equifax breach last year. Almost half of America's info is floating around, and that's why you need to do a credit freeze now.
Yeah, man, the reason that this is so important is that you have to get that credit freeze to prevent that criminal activity. Not because you're financially responsible for any criminal fraudulent activity, but because it's a huge freaking hassle to clean up the mess that any criminals were to make.
Yeah, and the main reason that we're creating this episode right now is because a huge change has occurred. Credit freezes are now free thanks to federal law.
Yeah, man, that's right. I mean, you know, we talked about it earlier, but I really do view it as sort of a public service now. It's almost like a public park. It's something that the government, like the state, provides now, and you need to take advantage of it. And so the specifics on how to do this, the easiest way is just to go to our website. On the show notes, we're going to have the links to all three credit bureaus, including the fourth one, the little guy. But we'll have links there to point you in the right direction so that you know exactly where to go. And be sure to avoid anything that says lock.
Those links take you directly to the credit freeze pages. And even if you, I found this, Google Equifax credit freeze or the different bureau and credit freeze after their name, they'll take you to some tricky landing pages at times. So we're giving you the links directly to the credit freeze page so that you can bypass some of those trickster selling sites that they've created.
Let's just cut out the middle, man. Google, who needs it? Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Our home on the web is howtomoney.com. We'll have our show notes up there with some links that we referenced in the show.
Yeah, and if you like what you've heard on this podcast and you found it helpful, let us know, please, by giving us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It just lets other people know about our show. And be sure to subscribe while you're there.
That's right, man. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.